This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Colosso Soprano.
Go!
The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Squirt!
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
Well, slightly delayed by some hockey podcast. I guess when you fire your coach, you get preferential treatment. But alas, Rick, we are here for Golazo Supremo Gol.
El ganador este partido entre Dinamarca y Alemania juega Inglaterra lunes.
So good, Kevon Lunes. So appropriate with Kevon returning to form for the Warriors. Lots to talk about. Champions League.
Nerve damage.
Group play resolved. Yes, neuropathy is on the table as well. Premier League look ahead as well. And I know that you've got notes. Rick Tittle, he's got notes, lady.
Well, we have some awards. It is December. Time Magazine had their Athlete of the Year. Athlete singular, but it was the Women's World Cup team. And it was a picture of all of them. And it was a picture where they said everybody frown or look tough. I didn't like it. I mean, they brought so much joy, and Megan Rapinoe talked about straight girls, gay girls, white, black, you know, young, old, and they're all sitting there with frowns. They brought a lot of joy, but I guess they said the person doing, okay, now everyone look tough
right
in this one. But anyway, they won Athlete of the Year. Christian Pulisic just today won his second straight Men's Player of the Year. The youngest ever to do it 2 years in a row. Landon Donovan did it at 22. He's done it at 21. But yes, you are right. There was the draw. Not the draw. The draw isn't going to come until next Monday. But we do have our final 16 in the Champions League. And this is the first time ever they all come from the big five leagues of France, England, Spain, Italy, and Germany. No scrubs.
No outsiders.
No scrubs from Russia or Scotland or Belgium or the Netherlands.
Wow.
Or
shout out Ajax, runners up.
Portugal. None of these scrubs. And I do want to give a shout out to the people in Italy who are friends of Atalanta. I'm sure they get a lot of people saying Atlanta. Atalanta, they lost their first three games in the Champions League. And they qualified.
Wow, out of group. That's tough to do. You got to win three straight to get that done. And they did it in dramatic fashion yesterday. We'll get more into the draw, which comes up Monday, by the way. But first, I want to revisit what you said about Athlete of the Year and it being an entire team. Great story, the U.S. women's soccer team. But for me, giving the Athlete of the Year award to an entire team is a bit of a cop-out.
I agree.
You give it to Megan Rapinoe. She was far and away the best player on the best team in America for the year. So go ahead and put yourself out there and give it to an individual, because by proxy, you're giving this to Carly Lloyd, and you are...
And she wants a Purple Heart.
Right. You're justifying her behavior with a group award. And she probably was the only one in the picture smiling, actually. I'll have to do my research and check that out.
Yes.
But felt a little bit like a cop-out to me. Pulisic makes sense that he would be player of the year, and that's spectacular in his own right. He's doing such great things over there at Chelsea. So
he is our hope of, I mean, he has, knock on wood, he could be the greatest United States player ever.
Which, as of right now, he probably is,
which
short of Tim Howard, maybe.
Right. I mean, if you look about what Landon Donovan did in the World Cup, and you think about what guys like Dempsey did in the Premier League, and Brian McBride was a captain of two English teams, but yes, for his age, what he's done so far, and it helps to have a European passport, but right now he could be our greatest ever player.
Yes, certainly so far so good for Pulisic. Congratulations are in order to Christian and his Chelsea side, still alive in the Champions League. And it'll be interesting when the draw comes out exactly who draws whom. I know that Chelsea has a very good possibility of drawing Real Madrid, if I'm not mistaken, based on the way the pots work.
Right. Yeah, all four English teams are there. In fact, as we speak right now, AZ Alkmaar is at Old Trafford playing Man United. We got Europa games going on. But yeah, these big countries with their big teams, and you could say that kind of stinks that there's no Shakhtar in there, or there's no Zenit St. Petersburg. Hey, man, to the
Brugge. They were game. They gave it an effort.
I go more Flemish with the Bruges, but I like the I like the Wallonia. I like the Brugge.
Yeah. Especially with a cold, it works really well when you're congested.
Absolutely.
It's a win.
But yeah, it's the first time ever, the 16 teams. Now you'd say, well, it's just rich getting richer, but them's the breaks.
And you look at the way it's laid out. You've got Barcelona, Bayern, Juventus, Leipzig.
Yeah. It's always, in German, it's the second letter that's long. So if it's EI, it's I. And if it's I,
gotcha.
Like Friedrich would be IE.
Just so a little in rule vowel to remember. Combinations.
In Germany, go with the second one long.
Okay. That's great. Leipzig, Liverpool, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain, and Valencia are your seeded teams. Now, it's interesting because the unseeded, you can't play against a team from your own country, nor can you play against a team from your group in the group stage, which makes it, from a draw standpoint, interesting for Chelsea because we know Chelsea's second in Group H, so Valencia's out, the winner of Group H. Additionally, they can't play Man City or Liverpool because they're from their country, so that leaves just Barcelona, Bayern, Juventus, Leipzig, and PSG for Chelsea possibly to play in that knockout stage. Not easy for Chelsea.
I did not know the rule. Is that this year that you can't play a team from your own country?
I think they've always had that in the first, well, I don't know about always, but in recent vintage, in that first round of 16.
I didn't know that.
Because they want to prevent it. Now, as it goes further down, and I think they end up drawing again, don't they, for the quarterfinals?
Sure.
And then they just draw one more time for the quarterfinals, and then they play it out in bracket format, I believe.
Yes.
After this
March
first,
Madness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got your brackets?
Not quite yet.
Obama's doing his right now.
Yeah, he sure is. I like Illinois and, you know, Loyola Chicago and all those other Chicago teams.
Dana Carvey said that you should be able to do an impression of a guy in two words. And so his Obama impression was, beat a bird up.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
My Reagan is one word.
Well. I stole it. That was an easy one.
No, it's good. It's
easy. Sorry, I stole it.
And then you can, if you really want to branch out, it's, well, mommy. And it's,
you go with the mommy.
For Nancy, you know.
I just remember Coach Flores, Reagan's on the phone. I wish I had that type of defense against the Democrats up on Capitol Hill.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Tottenham, by the way, second in Group B, part of the unseeded, which means they can't play Bayern Munich, the winner of Group B, nor can they play Liverpool or Man City. So largely the same group of teams that Chelsea will be facing, with the addition of Valencia in there.
They are unseeded. They have not been fertilized. I actually watched that game yesterday, and it's very rare that you get a game where the standings won't be affected one way or another. So Bayern Munich, for some weird reason, played almost their entire first team. Now, I think maybe it's because a new coach is trying to make an impression. But at one point, you had Coman go down. It looked like he hyperextended his knee. Then you had Davis go down. And I'm like, what are they doing? There's carnage. Meanwhile, Tottenham threw out Juan Foyt. And by the way, Ryan Sessegnon, shout out, his first ever game for Tottenham. And he scored a really nice goal at the Allianz Arena. And, you know, as I said, going up against Bayern Munich's first string. Now, it wasn't a must win. But and Tottenham still succumbed 3-1, so that means a 10-3 aggregate against Bayern this year. It's a step above.
Yeah, and it's so far removed now from that embarrassment, that 7-2 embarrassment that they suffered under Pochettino before he was shown the door. It feels like so much longer ago because of what has happened subsequently with the special one coming in, Jose Mourinho.
It does feel like a long time ago, but then again, I was just at that game. It feels like yesterday. It's just funny how sports works. I mean, you can think about it one way and then the other, but it's really showing. I mean, they brought Thomas Müller off their bench. I mean, Bayern is just soaked with talent, and I would think right now, if I had to pick two teams, I would say forget Spain, forget Italy. I think it would be Bayern Munich, and Liverpool would be my top two right now.
Wow, to make it all the way. Liverpool looking to go back-to-back as Champions League champions. You got to really wait until the draw comes, and that's on Monday, before you get a real solid idea of who might play whom. If you look at Bayern, seeded winners of Group B, we know that they can't play Tottenham. They also can't play Dortmund, but everyone else is on the table, including Real Madrid, including Chelsea.
Did Dortmund make it?
Dortmund did make it, second in Group F.
Wow.
Yeah, if I'm
Borussia,
not mistaken.
Borussia, you border on the Adriatic. By the way, shout out Harry Kane. If you think about his
champion. That was some cheers, right?
That was it. That was good. That was coach.
Yeah.
Very
thank
good.
You. Thank
See, this
you.
Is,
thank
that's
you.
A very
Albania.
Good knowledge. Your main export is cotton.
It's really good.
Yes.
Wow.
very good knowledge here.
Thank
old,
you. Thank
old,
you.
Two old guys.
It is Golazo Supremo, 51 and 54 here.
Yes. Harry Kane did not travel with the team, and somebody said to Munich, and they said, oh, that might affect his golden boot. He was at a steakhouse with his wife and his two daughters. He was having a great time. He wasn't mad. The press tries to create these things. But so far this year, Harry Kane in this calendar year has played in 26 games for club and country, 25 goals.
It's not bad.
What more could you want?
Seriously.
Yeah.
And the problems with Tottenham have not fallen at his feet, nor have they fallen
at the
feet.
He'd like to get the ball at his feet sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Dele Alli, by the way, is playing like a man on fire of late.
I'll throw this in, too. Dele started to be calling that at the beginning of last season, and that's because his family in Milton Keynes, which is Milton Keynes is this about an hour and a half north of London up the M1, is a town that they built after World War II, which they named after a guy, Milton Keynes, and the whole place is a mall. It's an underground mall with a little dome with a fake ski thing. But anyway, Wimbledon, which I remember Wimbledon was in the FA Cup final with Vinnie Jones and all those weirdos, the crazy gang. The Dons of Wimbledon, when they moved to Milton Keynes, they were called the Dons because of Wimbledon. So they became MK Dons. It's the only time since I've been a fan since the 80s that you had this franchise free agency American style. But anyway, getting back to Dele Alli, he grew up in Milton Keynes. He played in their youth system. He had a great run in the FA Cup, and then Tottenham bought him. He doesn't want anything to do with his parents, and so he doesn't want Alli. His first name is Delapalopoulos, or whatever it is. But
Delicatessen, I believe.
That's very good, yes. He is the new Dele. But he's a guy who, and the funny thing is, his parents, who are together, are like, the hell? What did we do? Please tell us. And he's like, no, y'all are gone. What did we do?
Crazy.
What did we
do? It's out of the Aaron Rodgers playbook.
Did we...
Did he send back their Christmas presents?
Wow. That's right. They sent him a mustache trimmer and he sent it back.
Is that what the gift was?
I don't know.
It had to be something like that.
Maybe it was from Olivia Munn. I don't know.
Could be. Now it's Danica Patrick, who is the one from whom he's regifting various trinkets.
That Instant Pot.
Yeah.
Wrong size.
We got one of those Instant Pot. It's pretty good. We've used it about four or five times, and now it just sits in the cupboard.
By the way, I think there's a couple apps now for stoners that'll bring you Instant Pot.
Yeah, dude. Waze, bro. I tell you, just a phone call away, man. Do I have to dial 9 for an outside line?
Dude, where's my bong?
Hey, as we wrap up Champions League, just a possible draw. Look, Juventus, the winners of Group D, they're in the seeded pot. The problem is you've got other Italian teams unseeded, like Atalanta. They can't play Atalanta. They can't play Atletico, and they can't play Napoli. So for Juventus, it'll either be Chelsea or Dortmund, Lyon, Real Madrid, or Tottenham Hotspur. Congratulations on winning your group. That might be the toughest matchup is what Juventus is going to face.
Yeah, that's like the Niners wild card game at Dallas. I mean, these are the type of things that we might get into. But and shout out to Olympique Lyonnais. They had been kind of on the periphery. They sold arguably their best player, who's not playing right now, in Ndombele, and they made it through to the group stage. I mean, to the knockout stage.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Second to Leipzig in Group G, and they can't play PSG. As they're from the French league as well. So any of the other 6 seeded teams. Again, the draw's on Monday, and then next week on Golazo Supremo, we will have a much more elaborate look and our predictions, winners and losers in the round of 16.
Right. I'm going to throw in a little news about Christian E., not Christian Eriksen, but Christian Espinoza. Yesterday, the Quakes announced that he has been designated player, which means that he can sign a contract extension. You know how it works in MLS. It's a little bit weird. They didn't want to have the NAA cell where you had the Cosmos and everyone else. But he did lead the team in assists last year, and we try to give a little love to the Quakes when we can. So I just want to say congratulations to Christian Espinosa.
That's incredible. And now, will Chris Wondolowski still be at that designated player level? Because he's been their DP, one of them, for a long time.
I think the way the love that Wando gets, I think number eight will probably be playing there when he's got a walker in front of him. Don't you?
It could be. I mean, he's definitely earned the right to go out on his own terms, certainly.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, no offense, but this, you know, it's not like they're playing in the Premier League. Christian Wondolowski can still get it done in that league, so why not?
Yeah, who do you think might be the next import, superstar import, a player toward the end of... Could it be Christian B, Christian Benteke, somebody as we channel our inner Christians, Sister Christian?
San Rafael High School is where they shot that video.
Look at you.
We're motoring. Benteke, I would love to have him on the Quakes. I mean, this is a guy who was so good in England, and it's kind of surplus to requirements now. He still turns out for the Red Devils of Belgium. I didn't really think of him, but we do now know that Ibra came too soon. And I could see why Los Angeles and dominate the league. It's not often we get a guy who's still that good. We usually get the broken down Stevie G's and Robbie Keane's. And I remember that first year with Lothar Matthäus when he was on in Major League Soccer. I went down and saw him play the Clash in that very first game against that was Johnny Hark's DC United. But anyway, you've had these guys come over. And unfortunately for MLS, they usually are Chelsea pensioners when they get here.
Drogba, etc.
Yes. But, you know, I don't blame them for getting a check and playing in a league where they can still be effective. But as I said, Ibrahimovic came too soon.
Because he was too good, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he's too good for this league, and now he knows it. And he's like, what am I doing playing against the Portland Timbers? What's going on here?
And where is he off to now?
I don't know, but a lot of people said, well, you know, he's going to go to Tottenham because of Mourinho. And Mourinho's like, why would Ibra come here when we have Harry Kane? Why would he want to not be the guy? And so he said, we have a guy who's like Ibra, and Ibra's like Kane. And, well, he's older, but he'll go somewhere, definitely in January.
Also sought after is the former FC Salzburg forward Takumi Minamino.
Oh, to Man United, I heard.
Yes, possibly, yeah. Although Liverpool have now reportedly moved ahead of Man U. This according to ESPN FC. The Anfield club have agreed to trigger the Japan International 7.25 million quid release clause in January. So this Group E fixture between Liverpool and Salzburg, Jurgen Klopp got a chance to see him up close and personal. Now he is covetous of the Japanese striker.
Isn't that the company that makes the pearls?
Which one?
Miyamoto?
Oh, Minamino. I don't know where you're going with that one.
You know another company that makes the pearls?
No.
In Japan? And then there's some shoes, too.
I thought pearls came from oysters.
They do, but there's like a pearl farm.
Okay.
And then there's like Mikimoto pumps, like expensive women's shoes. When it comes to pearls and women's shoes, I'm right here for your vagueness.
Yeah, I know Midori Ito, the former figure skater.
She fell down three times. One time she went out of the rink.
Thrice falls?
She did, and she shamed her ancestors.
And the Russian judge gave her a 5.8 still, despite the multitude of falls.
Do you remember Debbie Thomas from Stanford?
Yeah, San Jose.
She fell down twice and still got a bronze, and that was just BS. I mean, I love her. Great kid, but it's just hype.
Sports with judgment, judgment-based sports, the subjectivity, sometimes they lose me a little bit.
It's like Vince Vaughn in Old School about Leah Rimini, always watching, always judging.
Colossal Supremo, Rick Tittle, and, Dan Dibley.
Mm-hmm. This won't be a best of, but that's okay.
No, we'll work our way through it.
They can't all be winners.
No, I had a little Dijon mustard on my sandwich today, so I'm dealing with a little bit of that reflux that you hear about.
I actually stayed in Dijon one time, and I did buy some mustard when I was there. Felt like I had to. Yeah, I remember I went to the McDonald's in Dijon, and they had a poster up of the French national basketball team, which was Tony Parker, Roni Turioff, and our own Mikhail Petrus.
Wow.
Remember him?
This is before Frederick Weiss.
This was
the one who got dunked on by Vince Carter when he jumped over the 7-foot Frenchman.
Frederick Weiss. The Knicks drafted him, and it was this, like, this goofus dude that looked like Sean Bradley. That went over well.
They drafted the Frenchman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that. Mm-hmm. Frederick Weiss.
Yes, auf Deutsch. Yeah, not Weiss. Auf Weiss.
Right.
Weiss, which means white, and it also means I know.
Yes, W-E-I-S.
Yes, see?
And say I pronounced the second of the vowels in
Ich
there.
Weiss, yes. You'll pronounce that well, yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not once, she fell thrice. Not Weiss. Oh. She fell thrice.
And she sells seashells.
By the seashore.
There you go.
And not pearls, apparently, but
no.
Seashells.
But you can make pearl jam while listening to Pearl Jam.
Because I'm alive. And that would, you know,
yeah,
that's not bad.
Sorry.
Let's look at the Prem.
Let me know when we're recording.
Yeah, we'll start here in 3, 2, and 1. Hey, Rick Glossus of Ramo, I got to tell you. Week 17
yes.
in the Prem. Match day 17. It all gets started on Saturday morning with Liverpool hosting Watford. If I put the over-under at 5 goals, where would you sit on that? Watford, hapless, Liverpool, juggernaut at Anfield. It's got to be one of the most prohibitive favorite spots of the year.
I'll go under. 5 is a lot. I'll say 3-0 or 4-0 probably. I've said this before. I did go to Vicarage Road. I saw Watford play one time when they were in the lower division. I just love the fact that their logo is a moose, but their nickname are the Bees.
Huh. Makes a little sense to me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I have no idea why.
You've got Burnley and Newcastle. These are the Saturday morning 7 o'clock games. Chelsea hosting Bournemouth. Chelsea looking for a bounce back after an unfortunate defeat last weekend. How about Leicester City and the Foxes continuing to hang in there? They're hosting the Canaries of Norwich on Saturday.
The Brendan Rodgers revolution continues. And then look at Jamie Vardy still banging him in. Leicester is a very resilient club. And shout out to Gary Lineker, who was born and raised in Leicester and started his career at Filbert Street.
And Kasper Schmeichel, the great goalkeeper.
The son of the greatest goalkeeper of all time, in my mind. And Peter Schmeichel. And
Peter Schmeichel.
Of course, won Sweden 92. And a guy who, like Ollie Kahn, would yell at his back four sometimes.
When we talk about great goalkeepers, you always got to remember Gigi Buffon. And then you look up at the TV and you realize he's still playing. I thought he retired.
He's 40 or
at least. He might be 43.
Yeah. Gianluca Buffon, the Italian with the French name. He's a good goalkeeper. I think he's a classy guy, too, which not many guys on the Azzurri are. And I say that's racist. They're just dirty players. They'll give you a Charlie horse. I've always thought Buffon has been a kind of a classy guy. They'll always say in England that Gordon Banks is the greatest ever. Probably the greatest save ever, 1970 World Cup against Pele, I would say. And then the Russian Lev Yashin is sort of regarded as the greatest goalkeeper of all time. In my lifetime, I'd go Peter Schmeichel.
I'm not hearing Shep Messing right now on this list.
I love
or
Shep.
Or Joe Cannon.
I have Shep on my show all the time.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Joe Cannon, pride of Santa Clara University. Shout out, Joe. Was a good clash player there for a while.
Gigi Buffon, by the way, will be 42 in January.
Wow.
I was wondering if he was older or younger than Tom Brady, who is already 42, just turned in August. So it gives you some perspective as to just how old Gigi Buffon is.
Right. And if you think about Italian goalkeepers, I think a lot of people would say Walter Zenga. Walter Zenga in the World Cup in Italy gave up one goal. All Italy did was give up one goal, and they were out. And that was the Claudio Caniggia goal against Argentina in the knockout phase. That was the only goal they gave up the whole tournament. Peter Shilton has the most caps for England, but he was a garbage goalkeeper, and he's the reason why they didn't go to the final in 1990. Don't get me started on Peter Shilton.
I don't know if you saw this. It was a week ago or maybe a little bit more, but it was the Beach Soccer World Cup.
Did not see it.
They were showing it on, I think it was Univision or Telemundo. My son Keon and I got into it in the semifinal round, and it is fascinating to watch these guys. And I bring it up because the goalie for Portugal was the Portuguese Buffon. He looked exactly like, and I thought for a moment it was Gigi Buffon, but it turns out it was just the Portuguese Buffon. Portugal eventually fell. I think they lost in the final. It was them and Italy, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Portugal won in the final, but pretty entertaining to watch beach soccer. It's 4 field players and a goalie, and it's basically on like a double-sized volleyball court, beach volleyball court.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really dribble. So the dribbling is done by juggling. The goalie will get the ball, and he'll pop it up to himself with his foot, and then it's knee, knee, knee as he's walking down toward the defense. And after about five or six juggles, he'll then volley it over to one of the player who will try to also control and then volley it to the middle, like in water polo where you throw it to the hole. And then it's kind of an inside-out game. A lot of overhead kicks. Pretty hilarious to watch.
I would call, if I had a pickup team, I would call it the Knights Hussein Knee, if you have to do all that knee.
Right? It's not bad.
Knee. Sorry.
No, it's good.
Anybody?
You were looking to walk that off, but we got another six minutes.
No, I was saying
so.
Bueller.
Crickets. I could fire the crickets. Anyway, beach soccer.
Yes.
The World Cup, it was pretty big. They played it in Paraguay. And one of the semifinals, it was just torrential rain.
Wow. Any Americans down there?
Yeah, the Americans didn't make it out of group, unfortunately. Yeah.
A couple of
tough losses in group.
Hard to believe.
They were in the group of death, I believe.
They were.
The group of sand death. It's called the group of sand crabs, so to speak.
Wow. Well, I'm not surprised the Americans went down there and got crabs.
Yeah, my relegation candidate, Sheffield United, a.k.a. Shu.
The Shu, you call it.
Taking on
yes.
Aston Villa. This Saturday, is the Shoe for real? Is this team just a early season flash in the pan, or can they really end up being a top half club?
There's always one team that gets promoted that had such an amazing esprit de corps that they just keep rolling. Now, that doesn't mean they're getting into Europe, but that means that what they had, that mojo they had to get promoted, keeps going, and I think that's the Blades this year.
They look good. They sure look good. Southampton is hosting West Ham. And then on Sunday, the big one, Manchester United and Everton. Everton starting to get into some desperate straits here near the bottom of the table.
Well, they fired Marco Silva.
Marco.
And Polo. And then they fired him. I think he skipped the Tottenham game, didn't he?
No, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting there.
I thought we were Saturday. We're Sunday?
I thought I had it right. Yeah, Spurs and Wolves. That's part of the... There's two games at 6 a.m.
On Sunday?
Yeah. Yes, on Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why did I think it was Saturday?
I'm sorry.
I remember I had a friend that his girlfriend in college, whenever she called, he'd be like, hey, Kristen, how you? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's like 75 times. That's
crazy.
Yeah, they broke up.
Who could have seen that coming?
I know. It was heartbreaking. But
Everton 14th
yes.
right now. Everton sitting on 17 points, but only two above relegation.
Marco Silva was apparently the problem. because
Silva.
They had their first game, and that was they have Duncan Disorderly there as the head coach. Former Duncan Ferguson, Scottish international.
Duncan Disorderly.
That's what
good.
They call him over there. And I always love the story about the two criminals who picked the wrong house. And only in Scotland, two criminals broke into his house. They didn't know he was home. And until the police could arrive, he sat on both of them. Could you imagine sitting on two grown men and having that be effective?
You would have to be immense.
You would have to be like rock solid. And so anyway, yeah. But there's some passion there. I don't know. Let's see how long the honeymoon lasts there.
The battle for sixth is Wolves and Spurs. This Tottenham team is a whole new side. But the Wolverhampton Wolves have been one of the great surprises so far in the Premier League. They're sitting in sixth right now on 24 points.
You know what's funny about, and I think they still play at Molyneux, if I'm not mistaken. In 1990, England had one player who was not in the top flight, Division One, and that was Steve Bull, who was the Wolves striker. And when you're there, you don't say Wanderers. It's just like in Leeds, you don't say United. In Newcastle, you don't say United. United is only Manchester. You just get these little terms. Like, I've never heard them called...
West Ham, same thing.
You never call them... Yeah, you never call them... But now it's funny, like West Bromwich Albion, you can call WBA, you can call them...
WTF.
And they play at the Hawthorns. But anyway, the Albion, when you think about... what was I talking
Spurs.
About? Spurs, thank you. Spurs playing against Wolves. They've always just been Wolves. And I always wonder, Wolverhampton Wanderers, like they might as well just get rid of that name.
Yeah. Because they essentially are just the Wolves.
Just Wolves, yeah.
After that, the marquee spot on Sunday, we go to Anfield, Arsenal and Man City. Would that be Anfield? No, that'd be the Emirates. I apologize.
Well, it's funny you said that and it made sense to me. Anfield is now flats. They tore down all the bricks and the clock end and everything.
Wow.
It's all bricks. But yes, they'll be at the Emirates and Arsenal, of course. They have, I think, Freddie Ljungberg, former Swedish striker for Arsenal, who used to dye his hair pink. He is now the gaffer.
And they responded to his first fixture as the manager with a nice win last week.
I thought, oh wait, they got down and they came back.
Yes, that's they came roaring back. Yes. I believe it was against Villa.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, 3-1 the final. Crystal Palace taking on Brighton in the Monday night football spot. As I just confirmed, yeah, Arsenal at West Ham, the Hammers. Not Aston Villa, it was West Ham.
West Ham.
3-1. Arsenal got up off the deck and was able to get that done.
Any time West Ham plays a London derby, especially Tottenham, they hate, and Arsenal, the Northerners, that's like their FA Cup final because they're poor bastards and that's all they have. Not a big fan of West Ham, sorry.
No? What happened? Hmm? What happened between you two?
It's funny. You think about when they had the team with Joe Cole and Rio Ferdinand and Frank Lampard, they just were an absolute conveyor belt of talent. Michael Carrick, it just came, I said Rio Ferdinand, just kept coming one after another. All they went out and they signed Carlos Tevez and Javier Mascherano, but they always find a way to bungle it. And it's because they despise Tottenham so much. They just despise them. Now, Tottenham looks at Arsenal to hate, and then Arsenal like looks at Man United. They don't even look at Tottenham very much. It kind of, you know, goes upstream like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just not a big East End guy, I guess.
Arsenal.
In an East End town.
West End town. Arsenal drawing with Standard today. Arsenal will be through to the Europa League Final 32. So they will... They round out the field with the 8 third-place teams in the Champions League. Is that how that goes?
I didn't realize that.
Did the Champions League teams come down?
They drop down? I thought they dropped down earlier. They dropped down now. No, you're right.
Group play.
You're right. Yeah, I guess they do drop down, so they'll live to fight another day. All you fans of Rangers and everyone else that didn't make it.
Exciting. And Man U and Alkmaar. Now,
Was at Alkmaar, yeah, yeah.
0-0 at halftime.
That's at Old Trafford, too.
Yeah, and it's Old Trafford. Man U's had some great results of late, beating Man City and really starting to perform for OGS. Yeah, the nice win over Tottenham as well. Mm-hmm. Marcus Rashford playing motivated.
Yeah, it's funny with Rashford and Lingard. Both those guys, I think, are 90 pounds. It just goes to show you. I mean, I can think of only maybe a handful. I can count them on one hand. Soccer players who had muscles. It's like Roy Keane had toothpick arms, and that's why people were intimidated by him. I said, if Roy Keane yelled at me 5'8" with toothpick arms, I'm not going to laugh at him, but I'm certainly not going to get scared.
Right? Not exactly a fleet of bodybuilders out there on the pitch.
That's because you're a long distance runner. You can't be all bound up and muscular like that.
I'm trying to think who is even the one player you'd look at and be like, "Damn, that dude's yoked."
Well, I remember Hulk for Brazil. He had some
nice, well named,
nice name. Marcel Desailly of France and Chelsea. He had some. Michael Essien out of Cameroon. Toby Alderweireld with Tottenham. He's got some biceps that he likes to flex. But it's not like, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
But compared to Twiggy, they look pretty ripped.
And Thomas Müller, who looks tiny little guy.
He's very, very skinny. He's tall, but yeah, he probably weighs about 140. Yeah.
Doesn't weigh as much as the average schnitzel.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network. All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.